Please join me in the prayer of illumination. As the stone was rolled away to reveal a risen Lord, show yourself to us anew today in the reading of your word. May our hearts be warmed by its reading, revealing your presence with us in your resurrected glory. Amen.
Now this reading from the Gospel according to Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Those of you who worship regularly are thinking, "Now what's she doing up there?" I usually stand right there to preach, but I just wanted to be able to see everybody on this Easter Sunday, so I felt led by the Spirit to move up here this morning. Because what beautiful people you are, and what a joy it is to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord on this beautiful day. As a staff, we work hard to put together the worship service every Sunday morning, and we work to pick out hymns and anthems and liturgies that go along with the scripture reading. Of course, that's really easy on Easter Sunday. We know the story. Jesus is raised from the dead, and there are lots of hymns to choose from and liturgies to choose from. But this morning, we hear the account of Jesus' resurrection from Mark's gospel. And if we were to really sing a hymn that gets at the tone of Mark's account of Jesus' resurrection, it might go something like this. Christ the Lord is risen today, alleluia. It's unresolved. It's an unresolved chord. It leaves us hanging. I was talking to some folks who went to the soccer game last night, ended a tie. That's not a satisfying ending. And the Gospel of Mark ends with an ellipsis, dot, dot, dot. Now, you may look in your Bibles and see there are more words after verse 8 that we just heard. But most scholars believe those verses were added later. The oldest versions we have of Mark's Gospel stop right where we stopped a few moments ago. The women gather their spices early on Sunday morning. They go to the tomb, the stone has been rolled away, and sitting there is a young man in a dazzling white robe who tells them that Jesus is not there, that he has been raised. And he tells them to go and tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before them all to Galilee, to go to Galilee, and there you will see him. And then Mark tells us the women were terrified. They ran from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone. The end. In fact, Mark's gospel in the Greek, the original language, is even more awkward and more of a cliffhanger. It says, the women said nothing to anyone. They were afraid for... So what is Mark up to? Did he do this on purpose? Was he interrupted somehow? Did his wife see the manuscript on his desk and mail it to the publisher before she knew he was finished? Did he run out of ink? Did the pizza man arrive? What happened? Pizza? I'm ready for second breakfast too. Well, I think Mark knew exactly what he was doing. Every word of his gospel is carefully chosen and crafted, and he does everything intentionally. And I think he chose to end his gospel this way because I think he wants us to take the story. It's as if he says, he takes his quill and he says, and they said nothing to anyone. They were afraid for... Will you finish the story? Will you tell? He's handing it over to those who have read through the story. He's handing it over to next generations. He's handing it over to us. I don't know that he ever thought 2,000 years later there would be those gathering by the thousands and hundreds of thousands to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and to continue telling the story of life over death, telling the world that love wins, telling the world that the Roman Empire did not have the final word on Jesus of Nazareth, but God raised him from the dead. So how do we take up the story? How do each one of us tell the story that Christ is risen in our lives, in our day, in our own way? I think Mark gives us a few clues to help us along the way. The angel tells the women to go and tell the other disciples that Jesus has gone ahead of them to Galilee. Go back to Galilee, he says. And he's telling the readers, he's telling us who are hearing the story, go back to Galilee, go back to the beginning of the story, and read it again. Now that you know what happens, now that you know that Jesus is raised from the dead, now that you know that love wins, go back and read it all again through that lens of hope and new life. And then go back and read it again. He's inviting the believing community to stay close to this text. Stay close to the story. Continue getting to know Jesus, and you will find him. You will find the risen Christ in these stories. Last year, as a congregation, we read through the Bible together. And many of us who took on that practice experienced God speaking to us through these ancient words. That somehow when we gather around this gospel, when we gather as a community and hear it together and question it together and dig into it together and wrestle with it together, the Spirit of the risen Christ is among us and we are transformed. And we read these texts not just for information about the past, but for transformation. So Mark sends us back to Galilee, sends us back to the beginning of the story. But there's another layer of meaning to that, I think. He says, go back to Galilee. That's where you'll find him. Go back to where you first met him. Go back to where it all started. Go back to your ordinary daily lives. Because the risen Christ is there. I don't know about you, but when I think about telling the story of the resurrected Christ or how I've experienced the grace and hope and forgiveness and inclusion and justice and love that comes through Christ, I'm always looking for the big heroic examples. If you were in church a couple of weeks ago or last week, I talked about St. Francis of Assisi and Rosa Parks and all of these great heroes of the faith. But the truth is, the risen Christ is present in each and every ordinary day of our lives. And we are called as simple, ordinary people to live as if love wins, to live as if life has conquered death, to live in a way that shows that the way of Christ is alive. So how do you do that? Where have you seen that? How do we keep our eyes open to those ordinary experiences of grace and reconciliation, forgiveness and justice and hope? I think about that family gathered around a hospice bed with a beloved family member that they have known and loved. Not all their questions are answered. Not all their conflicts are resolved, but there they are together, praying and loving one another in hope and believing that even death is not the end for their loved one. I see it in families who are working hard toward forgiveness and reconciliation after deep brokenness and hurt. I saw it on Wednesday afternoon when thousands of people lined up just right here in front of our church, including dozens of members of this church, to link arms. People of all stripes, all political parties from all over the city, linking together to say, we want a safer city. We want our children to feel safe. We want common sense gun laws. And we came together in that moment and celebrated our unity. I saw it on Friday night when seven different congregations gathered at Gordon Memorial United Methodist Church to ponder the seven last sayings of Jesus and the diversity and different styles of music and offerings and preaching that we experienced in that night gave us all hope that Christ is alive and doing the work of reconciliation and connection, grace, love, and forgiveness. We're all called to live it out. And most of us aren't going to be heroes making the headlines. But each one of us has an opportunity each and every day to choose hope, to choose forgiveness, to choose reconciliation, to choose love. Now, those women 2,000 years ago initially didn't say anything to anybody because they were afraid. But we're here because they told somebody. They told the disciples, and the disciples didn't believe at first, but then they did, and they began to tell. And they began to create these communities of peace and reconciliation and charity and love and service and self-giving. And the world has never been the same. So the invitation from Mark's gospel is to go back to Galilee after this morning. Go back to your ordinary, regular, daily lives. But may you never be the same, so that the world may never be the same.